What's up, guys? On today's show, we're getting you caught up with some fantasy news from the past 2 weeks, and we'll wrap things up with some more of our average draft position do's and don'ts as you get ready for your summer drafts. Before we start the show, be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to gas us up, leave a 5-star review. Let's roll.
This is Darren Waller, and you're listening to the Tutty Talk Podcast.
Streaming from beautiful Portland, Oregon, for all things fantasy football. This is the Tutty Talk Podcast.
Barkley with a burst! Barkley down the sideline! Saquon Barkley!
Jackson takes it himself, looking and turn back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankles!
He did what? It's a C-Mac attack!
I'm really not into dreams anymore. Okay, I'm in the nightmare.
A lot of people ain't gonna be able to take that over and 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 over again.
You like that? You like that?
Here are your hosts, Bryce Wells.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna put you on blast.
Kevin Nelson.
It's a damn shame because Pete Carroll is wasting Russell Wilson, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And Chase Daskalos.
No. Lamar Jackson is going to be a top five quarterback.
It is good to be back. Welcome in, welcome back, and welcome to episode 16 of the Tutty Talk Podcast. Of course, I'm Kevin, joined by Bryce and Chase. And guys, a lot to talk about when it comes to football, and a lot to talk about when it comes to the world and the change that needs to occur in our country. As I'm sure all who are listening to the podcast have seen and heard, the players have made a powerful statement. Commissioner Roger Goodell and the NFL have maybe turned a new leaf and too made an impactful statement to take a stance with the players as well. And we're going to do the same. This is our statement. Our game, our podcast, and our community exists because of Black athletes. Therefore, we see that it's only right to stand with the Black community that continues to face oppression and in all forms, a lack of equality on a daily basis in this country. We encourage all to take time to reflect, listen, and react appropriately during this time as they see fit through conversation, donation, protest, and of course, the power and right to vote. This is a human rights battle, and we must overcome our past beliefs and actions in order to combat racism and improve law enforcement in our country. We can be better, and we can do more. With that, Bryce, how we doing on, for us, a Wednesday afternoon?
Doing very well. It's good to be back. When we were trying to formulate how we would like to spread a message from this podcast about this, I think you nailed it right on the head. And we came to an agreement that this was the best way to do it, especially taking a week off last week in honor of that. And we'd like to just see an improvement all around in this country. So totally support the protests and glad to see people are fighting for their freedom and equality.
Chase, how we doing?
Doing well. Back in Oregon, ready to rock and roll.
Let's go. The move is next week. The move is next week. So let's talk some football, why we're all here on this Tutty Talk podcast and episode 16, boys. That's pretty awesome. So let's roll. The biggest news of the past 2 weeks in the NFL is Dalvin Cook will not participate in any team activities until he receives a new contract, per every source, but it came first from ESPN's Adam Schefter. He said that he's out without a reasonable extension. He's holding out, and he wants big-time money. People are saying he doesn't deserve it. He's now worth it. We are a do-not-pay running backs massive deals because it fucks the whole entirety of the rest of your team podcast. But guys, I want to throw it to you. My thought is Minnesota is going to do whatever it takes to re-sign Dalvin, even with the injured history and his IR past. They don't care. They've been clearing cap this whole time, knowing that this was coming. And what do you know, despite the new collective bargaining agreement and a shitstorm of things that maybe Dalvin's not that aware of, he says he's holding out.
So I find this situation super interesting, and it has this a similar start to how Lev Bell handled his situation, how Melvin Gordon handled his situation. So when I say that it's a possibility that Dalvin holds out, I think we actually have to take that in account, because he is asking for quite a bit of money. Now, on one hand, you see this team as a surefire playoff contending team year in and year out. And I think that requires them to re-sign Dalvin because he offers so much offensive ability to take them to the next level. Now, on the other hand, we've seen teams that have decided to not pay running backs. And given that Dalvin's only produced in one full season, despite missing a couple games at the end of the year, you know, he really has been injury riddled his entire career. So when you think about whether or not the Vikings are going to pay a guy that has really only produced one season of his career, it makes you wonder, are they willing to pay a large sum of money? Now, they do have to reconstruct Kirk Cousins, and I think that's going to be a higher priority down the road. So it's going to be interesting to see how this situation plays out, because we've, like I said, we've seen teams paying their running back that top dollar, like the Cowboys and the Panthers. So it'll be interesting to see if the Vikings follow in suit, or they decide to pull a Steelers and let him walk, or, you know, be like the Chargers and let Melvin Gordon walk. So I can't wait to see how this thing plays out.
The thing with this year and the CBA that was literally just signed to get us playing football, maybe not affecting this year, but next year, but a lot of rules went into effect this offseason, was the fine for skipping practice and skipping training camp. It's a bigger fine. It's $50,000 per day that you miss, that the team can fine you. And we've seen some teams like Seattle, they waived that with Marshawn Lynch way back, and they waived that with Cam Chancellor way back, and things like that. It can't happen where a team says, hey, we'll just split it, whatever. Zeke said that he was going to sit out last year. We all remember that. But the thing is, Zeke's contract wasn't up for another 2 years. So he really had the Cowboys by the balls in saying, I'm going to sit out this season, and I'll sit out next year if it comes to it, before I get a contract. Well, they can't lose him for 2 years. They got to find a way to get him a deal. Zeke played it perfect in this market. Christian McCaffrey also got his deal, but he didn't have to sit out or threaten to sit out anytime. He just had the numbers to go along with it. Well, now Dalvin's going into the final year of his contract. And if he sits and misses time and decides not to play, the Vikings are able to retain his rights for a 2021 season with a restricted free agency tender on him. So then he doesn't even get the best deal no matter what happens, because a team isn't going to pay him, and Minnesota has a chance to counter and keep him there. He truly is happy there, is what everybody's saying, and he's apparently willing to take $13 million a year instead of the blasphemous $16 a year.
13 is still a lot, though.
It is part of the Christian McCaffrey was $16. So he's got to be careful here, because Minnesota is going to win. They're going to have him regardless if they are going to sign him to a crazy deal, or if he's going to end up sitting and they're going to have him next year and he's just going to have to tough it out and play. And we all saw what happened to Melvin Gordon last year and the regret that he had in sitting out the time that he did, because they just went and found Austin Eckler and said, see ya, Melvin.
So here's where I'm at. The Minnesota Vikings want to run the ball. Mike Zimmer wants to run the ball, and they want to do it using Dalvin Cook. Last year, fourth in the NFL in run plays per game. Dalvin Cook is on pace, on average, to be the 42nd highest paid running back per year in the NFL, behind guys like Rex Burkhead and Brandon Bolden, both playing for New England. He wants $13 million a year, like we said, and that would make him tied with David Johnson for being the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL, behind Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell. I think he deserves that. I know we're on this, you know, don't pay running backs or whatever. He's a top five running back in the NFL. I just pay him. You want to run the ball? You want to pound the rock? Give it to Dalvin Cook. I understand the injury concern, all of that, but he's your guy. Pay the man.
I feel like at a certain point, though, you know, you have to prove that you can be on the field for more than just a year. And we can't even say a full year, because he did miss some big time games at the end of the season last year. So when it comes to paying a running back top dollar when he's only produced in a single season, it makes it very difficult to stand on the side that Minnesota will pay this man. But I do agree They run the ball a fuck ton. That's the offensive mindset there, and there isn't going to be anyone better than him to do that for them. So I know there's a lot of Alexander Mattison truthers out there. I think he's a great player, but I don't think that he's just going to come in and immediately replace Dalvin Cook. Now, I think we were saying the same thing about Austin Eckler. We'll get to find out this year whether or not he can handle that primary role. But even then, people are talking about Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson to eat away at that. So this is a very, I feel like, specific situation that we haven't really seen with any other running backs, because the other running backs actually produced more than one full season that the, you know, the respected teams along with those players, you know, they let them walk. I think this is a very sophisticated, special situation for Dalvin, and it's really going, he's just going to have to be flexible. I think that's all it's going to take. He's probably going to have to take less than 13. They have something like $50 million left in their cap, so they probably can't afford him, but I think they're going to want to focus more of that money into Kirk Cousins going forward. So I'm just really interested to see how this pans out, because I have no idea which way it's going to go. I can see either way at this point.
So translating this to fantasy football, and especially Dynasty, in my opinion, if you're not selling Alexander Mattison off this news and taking advantage of that, because last year in your rookie draft, you got Alexander Mattison for a third or fourth round pick or undrafted, or you got him off the waivers. Yep. So you're foolish, in my opinion, if you're not taking advantage of that and selling Alexander Mattison. And on the flip side of that, buying Dalvin Cook on the discount. Roster Watch today, verified Twitter account, a bunch of followers, tweeted out a poll saying, where are you going to take Dalvin Cook in early drafts right now? And the winning selection for that poll was second round or later.
Whoa,
already.
God.
And I mean, he was going 104, ridiculous. 105.
That's, you know, bad.
It's the same shit as last year with Zeke, right? I mean, anytime a guy threatens to hold out, the ADP just plummets. And these things always work out. The 1 year it didn't was Le'Veon Bell, and maybe people are afraid of that. And those are the people that are maybe speaking the loudest, going, don't do it. It's not worth it. I took him 101 and he fucked my whole season up. Okay. But I don't think history is repeating itself in that way, where a guy's going to sit out a whole season.
Right.
Like, the running backs know that there are young running backs coming into the league every year, especially this class and the class coming up, that are good and you are very replaceable. So you better be on the field. You better be at training camp. You better be like with your teammates trying to get that check, or else you're never going to get it. And they'll just move on from you. They got Mattison right there.
You had mentioned the fine in the new agreement being drastically.
It's 50,000 as opposed to 40,000.
Sure.
Per day.
But still, that's going to tack up for a guy like Dalvin Cook, who is making barely anything right now. So you'd like to think that he is going to take a fair deal more than he's going to actually hold out and try to get the deal that he wants. I think when I say he needs to be flexible, this is that scenario where it's going to get pricey the longer he holds out. And he obviously knows that. We just like to hope that, you know, they handle this situation correctly, him and his agent.
Moving on. Matt Ryan on a Zoom call, that's how all these team interviews are now, obviously, is through Zoom, was hyping up his new tight end, Hayden Hurst, last Tuesday, saying he's the most athletic and versatile tight end he's ever played with. Hello, played with Tony Gonzalez, and Austin Hooper was pretty athletic and was pretty good last year, too. So we liked Hayden Hurst when he was a Raven, didn't like the opportunity, getting all picked on by our boy Mark Andrews. But now he ends up in a pass-heavy offense with maybe 30-year breakout Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and who's the third option? It's Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst is interesting because his ADP has just skyrocketed over the past few months. Ever since he landed on Atlanta. And it's so weird to hear Matt Ryan, not hear, but to see the words on the paper that Matt Ryan thinks that he's one of the fastest, most athletic tight ends he's played with. I mean, you look at his athletic profile, he ran a 4.67 40, and it has a 105.9 speed score, which is 81st percentile. So those all look great, but he hasn't really proven a whole lot yet. And he is almost 27 years old, which is crazy. It doesn't feel like he's been in the league that long, and he hasn't. I think what's difficult is if I'm not an owner of Hayden Hurst, I think it's hard for me to want to buy into him, depending on the price, of course. We haven't seen a whole lot from him because Mark Andrews fired so early his rookie season. But, you know, what is Hayden Hurst's upside? Is it tight end 5? Is that his ceiling? Because I think it could be possible that the Falcons are one of the highest passing offenses in the league. So based on what Austin Hooper did last year, if Hayden Hurst can stay healthy and on the field, I feel like this is an easy top 10 finish for him, most likely. What do you guys think?
I'm going to have to agree with you because if Austin Hooper can do it, who's saying that Hayden Hurst can't?
Like, right.
You just throw him in the exact same Austin Hooper role, and there you go. So I like Hayden Hurst. We've liked Hayden Hurst on this podcast a while ago, too. He was the tight end that we were targeting in super late in drafts that I was doing 2 months ago. He was the tight end. I was grabbing him, Chris Herndon, Irv Smith. Those guys are like waiting on tight end. You know, but I liked him a month or two ago. And Bryce, like you said, his ADP has completely skyrocketed. He's up a whole round in a month. He's up to tight end 11, 92nd overall, which would be a 10th round pick. It's still fine, but I wanted him when he was going in like the 14th round. But the Matt Ryan thing is very coach speakish to me. You know, Matt Ryan can say what he wants, but if he really wants to get technical here, Hayden Hurst has the 143rd athletic score out of every tight end that played in 2019 and the 86th best 40 time.
Oof.
So, Matt.
Are you
I
sure?
I don't know what you're saying.
Are you sure,
Hello?
Bless? Yeah. It's a weird comment.
And kind of going back to ADP, I know we're going to talk about it. Should just be the ADP podcast. But in our drafts, and Chase, what we've kind of seen in best ball, even just trying to see where people are drafting guys, is you can get a tight end that maybe doesn't have as much upside, but you feel comfortable taking them like 8 rounds later, where Hayden Hurst is going right now. There are quality players that guys you're going to put in your flex and they're going to be in your lineup every day. So I have a hard time drafting him where he's at now. Obviously, you know, we're going to touch on some other guys here later on that we would maybe like instead of him there, but the tight end position, there's so many guys, it's not worth taking Hayden Hurst where he's driving up to. So that's enough about Hayden Hurst and his unathletic athleticism, according to Matt Ryan. The Las Vegas Raiders and their rookie wide receiver, first one off the board, as we predicted, Henry Ruggs III. Well, he's already hurt, and it's terrifying. The breaking news was Henry Ruggs got hurt in an off-field accident, and Chase, I think, had a heart attack as soon as this came down and was digging through the deep, dark web of Twitter trying to find what the hell happened to his boy, who he's now behind, where 3-4 months ago we hated Henry Ruggs, but he's not just a burner. We're getting past that. We're growing. We're learning. But Henry Ruggs, Chase, I'll let you kind of take it away. He's all right. He's fine. Don't worry about it. If you haven't gotten caught up on Henry Ruggs' injury, Chase is going to kind of get you there.
So I was in Vegas, actually, when this news broke. I was driving to the grocery store.
You're helping him
in the house in Vegas.
You're helping him and his family move when the injury happened, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, no, so I mean, I'm driving, and to get to the grocery store, you drive right by the hospital off the strip. I see the news, get in the car, driving by, tear rolling down my eyes. I'm thinking that Henry Ruggs is in the hospital with a severed artery in his leg. But he was just helping a friend move, got pinned between the trailer and a wall or something like that. Could have been super serious, but he's completely fine. So nothing to worry about. I'm fine. But well, I was worried.
Yeah, we're moving next week. We got to be careful. Don't be like Henry.
Jesus Christ. Moving on.
The Indianapolis Colts, they've got about 17 different running backs, so you better draft them all because they're all going to have a prominent role in the offense, according to
God.
Head coach Frank Wright. And he was more particularly talking about Nyheim Hines as a third down back, going to see a prominent role. Bryce,
I hate the Colts, guys. I hate the fucking Colts. Here is another example of them piping up another guy on this roster that they apparently fucking love, that's going to be a featured player and have all these touches. How the fuck are you going to feature all three running backs in this offense and the two fucking wide receiver ones that you apparently have on your team? Three, counting T.Y. I can't believe I didn't think of him as the wide receiver one because he's old as shit, about to croak and die. But it's insane. Like, you can't trust anything this organization says. You have to wait and see what they're going to do and hope to God that you have drafted the right player that's going to actually produce on this team. Because apparently Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton and Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor are all gonna be NFL record-breaking players on this team. So when they go fucking 6-10, we'll come back to this and rehash it and basically point out maybe we should just never draft Indianapolis Colts players ever, because you just can't trust the words that are coming out these people's mouths.
I mean, the only one that you really have to draft is Jonathan Taylor, because he's Jonathan Taylor. But
so shouldn't have last year been the Nyheim Hines season? Right. Last year, the most points that he scored, fantasy points that he scored in a single game, was 12.5. And now they add the best running back in the draft, and now it's Nyheim Hines. God, get out of here. Do it last year. You didn't do it last year, so why am I going to think you're going to do it this year when Indianapolis kept Marlon Mack and added Jonathan Taylor?
Yikes. Too many mouths to feed there. And Phillip Rivers is the one doing it. I love it. I love the Colts, man. I love it. Moving from one franchise to another one. The Dallas Cowboys, their running back Ezekiel Elliott. A lot of people forget that he had 355 touches last season. Didn't have the fantasy season that you wanted because he didn't have the fucking touchdowns. But that made him the first running back since LT in 06 and 07 to have back-to-back seasons with at least 350 touches. So, the Dalvin news, maybe. Saquon was kind of hurt last year. Christian McCaffrey just got a big contract and is surely the number one running back in Dynasty that you would like to have on your team. But after that, kind of have to start thinking Zeke, right?
I don't think there's anyone safer to have long-term in Dynasty than Ezekiel Elliott, even at 24, I believe he is, or 25. The guy has proven that he can handle a workload year in and year out, rarely gets hurt. People forget that his rookie season, he also had 350-plus touches. So three of his 4 years that he's played, he's touching the ball a lot. And even if he doesn't score those touchdowns, I mean, it makes him a lock for a top, you know, top seven at worst finish for him in fantasy. And a guy that is post rookie contract at the position. We've talked about that plenty already, but I know a lot of people worry about that second contract these guys get. And he's one of the guys you literally don't have to worry about. And you do wonder at what point is he going to start to break down with that many touches. And it just hasn't shown yet. And this offense continues to get better and better. They're going to be passing the ball just as much, if not more, this next season. And it's just going to open the field up for him. The line has taken a step back, but I don't think that's going to hinder his volume at all. So Ezekiel Elliott, there's nothing to sweat about. You know, if you draft him as the fifth or sixth guy off the board, no one's going to argue about it. No one's going to argue about it if you even take him at three or two. You know, I know Saquon is a sought-after asset. CMC's number one. So, I mean, you can make a case from at any point as long as he's not dipping below that. And if he does, you have to draft him. There's no reason you shouldn't.
So Zeke's contract is awesome in Dynasty. 6 year, 90 mil. He's with Dallas until 2026. We're playing Dynasty, and people don't even want to think about a 2022 draft pick, right? No, that's worth nothing. Zeke is with the Cowboys for 4 years after that. He's a free agent in 2027 when he's 32. There is a potential out in 2023, but it would require basically $7 million in dead cap. I don't see that happening. It's when he would turn 27. I mean, they signed him the 6 year. They're going to keep him. 6 year, $90 million. it doesn't get safer other than McCaffrey. He's with Carolina until 2025. So he's got that 1 year leg up on McCaffrey, actually.
And Zeke's on the better roster and probably will be for quite a long time. So, yeah.
What a stupid contract. That's yeah, so bad.
It is.
So bad. All right, the MVP, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, is hopefully going to try to throw more downfield throws this upcoming season when the team faces one-on-one coverage, according to John Harbaugh. I mean, we saw it in the playoff loss. The Titans stacked the box, did it consistently, and said, we're going to play man-to-man coverage and make Lamar beat us. And that worked. They got pressure on the quarterback. He had a horrible day. Guys were dropping passes and Willie Snead and shit like that. Like, I get it. It was rough. Things are going to be better, hopefully, with the wide receivers that he has this season. But, like, that means maybe, you know, you think downfield, you think Hollywood, Duvernay, some other options for the Ravens this season, and maybe more passing yards for Lamar, maybe not as much running than what we saw in an MVP season.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, Lamar is not going to be running as much as we saw this last season. And that may not happen this year. It may not happen next year. But at some point, he will have to start throwing the ball more. And as every week goes by, I buy more into Marquise Brown as a guy I want on my fantasy team, even if it means I'm just throwing him in my flex, because I know at some point he's going to have 120 yards on, you know, three receptions and touchdown. And the fact that there's literally no other competition besides Mark Andrews, if they're trying to throw the ball downfield facing one-on-one coverage, if it's not Hollywood, we're back to the conversation about who's the wide receiver two here, and it's still between Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, and I believe Willie Snead still on the roster. Which one of these guys is going to be that guy? So I feel like if you're drafting Ravens players, you must consider all of them, even into the late rounds. You might not even have to draft Devin Duvernay in your seasonal drafts. Pick him up off the waiver wire, and all of a sudden you've got a dart throw that could fire. Or Miles Boykin, who is another solid option too, even though I know we're not a Miles Boykin podcast, he might be a guy that they look to, if not Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. Someone has to step up, so you might as well take a dart throw at one of these three guys, or two of these three guys, or even three if you really want to. And it's an offense that's one of the best in the league. You might as well try to get a piece of it while you're at it.
I think one of the most important things here is that they have the run game, and especially the read option game, to set up the deep ball. Necessarily, he doesn't have to force it, and it's not something that they're going to have to rely on, because they should be up in a lot of games running the ball. Interesting, though, is he was actually 15th in the NFL last year in deep ball attempts. So he wasn't reluctant to throw it. It's just that he was 23rd in deep ball completion percentage. So like we said, he's just got to work on it. And actually number 8 in our favorite metric for quarterbacks, money throws. So I think it's something, it's just like a bonus if he's able to get better at the deep ball. It's not something that he needs to rely on. We've already seen that. And Harbaugh's not going to force him into those situations.
Agreed. I'm curious if there's a trend from year 2 to year 3 or 3 to 4 or whatever of guys improving their accuracy throwing deep. You know, it's his second season. Like, give him a break. Like, I don't expect him to be a top 10, you know, passer already, given his background and, you know, what he did at Louisville, what he did in his first season. Like, come on, man. He's going to get better. He's got a whole offseason as starting quarterback. Like, it's going to be really good. Not that he wasn't last year, but now as the MVP quarterback, I should say.
And people were worried about him after that rookie season that he had, because he wasn't a phenomenal passer whatsoever. And people were talking about, is he going to improve as a passer? And he showed that. As long as he keeps taking a step forward as a passer, I mean, Lamar Jackson could be your quarterback one in fantasy for a long time.
To the Pacific Northwest, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett's 11.23 yards per target and 18 receiving touchdowns over the last two seasons ranked second in the NFL, I believe, to only Michael Thomas. He's got 77.2% of his targets in that stretch, the third best mark in the NFL over that time span as well. Well, DK is supposed to be a superstar now after he couldn't run a fucking three cone a year ago around this time. But are we sleeping on Tyler Lockett now a little bit? He's sliding a little bit. He's being drafted ahead of Devontae Parker, Diggs, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel. I feel like that's about right. Wide receiver 23, it sounds like about the right territory. Could he finish as a top 15 guy? Sure, I could see that too. And DK's not there yet. But until Seattle unleashes Russell Wilson and lets him be the quarterback we all hope he can be, and you hear it in the intro, it's a damn shame because Pete Carroll's wasting. Yeah, okay, until we get to see the real deal, maybe that means they're down in games. I don't think that Lockett is going to be any better than that, especially with DK on the other side.
What I think is more surprising is that he's being drafted ahead of Devontae Parker, Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, and Deebo Samuel. But at the same time, I think you're right. I think it's kind of the right spot for him. It seems like his ADP is right where it should be. I think people want to buy into DK having a better season than Tyler Lockett, and I think I'm one of those people that supports that. But, Kevin, over the last couple months, you've kind of talked to me about Tyler Lockett being slept on under the radar in this offense, and being that he caught 77.2% of his targets, I think that speaks more to Russell Wilson in that sense. So good for Tyler Lockett being able to pull through for Russell Wilson. That's a pretty big deal, being able to be the number one, even though he's not a true number one. And I think you'll start seeing Tyler Lockett and DK being closer in ADP as we get closer to the season.
He is Russell Wilson's favorite target still.
Yeah. 100% slept on too.
Yeah.
He finished 2019 as wide receiver 14. And now in June, he's down 9 spots. What did he do to fall basically 10 receiver slots?
And that's without them adding a wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. It's just the DK. It's not even hype. It's just the DK effect, because I don't think DK is being overvalued right now. He's not overpriced. His ADP is not outrageous, but why is Lockett down 9 spots? I would take him at wide receiver 23 every single time.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see what the offense does this year, but at the end of the day, I think Lockett finishes the year with the most targets and the most opportunity from Russell, because when in doubt, the ball's going one place most of the time.
Totally.
He saw that trust develop throughout the year with DK. I think it can get there eventually, but when all else fails, he's throwing to 16 and not DK. So
I think we'll see a good step forward from DK every year that he plays. And I think that third year in the league is where he's really going to take over. You know, that seems like the right trajectory for him. You know, I feel like the second season, this next season, is going to be a great year for DK. But that third season's when he's going to be established, and that's what we're excited for. I think Dynasty is kind of warping our opinion on who to take here in seasonal, and I think that could be a problem.
Well, if you're looking Dynasty, the rumblings of Pete Carroll maybe this being his final season, that holds a lot of weight. You know, that would be insane if an offensive-minded coach ends up as the head coach in Seattle with what they have right there. If they could get him a line and pass heavy, wow, would be really good for fantasy. So keep an eye on that too, because that started to develop last week. Some rumors about that.
Imagine like a Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma with Russell Wilson and unloading in Seattle.
Oh my God.
All right, moving on before Kevin gets stuck on the Hawks for the rest of the pod.
Oh my God.
Lincoln Riley, shut the fuck up.
I'm blushing. All right, head coach Matt Rhule, Carolina first-year head coach, said he jumped at the chance to give Bridgewater the opportunity. Quote, "I believe so wholeheartedly in who he is as a quarterback." Huh? I mean, Teddy was pretty good last year. More on this. He says, "I believe in his abilities. I believe in his arm strength. I believe in his accuracy." Okay. "I believe in his decision-making process, but beyond that, I know he's going to make everyone else that much better." High praise for Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves. God damn it. I hate that nickname, man. It's so ridiculous.
He wears two gloves.
He did. He did wear two gloves. Okay. I think Matt Rhule is lying to us. I think
you're a liar.
I think he sees the talent that is surrounded by Teddy Bridgewater and believes that Teddy will be successful because of the talent surrounding him, because this offense is loaded at every position. And how can you be bad? I mean, it's like Drew Lock kind of to me. They're going to find out really early whether or not Teddy B can handle this team. And I mean, worst case scenario, they just hand it off to Christian McCaffrey, but you have DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson. I mean, there is no way Teddy Bridgewater should have a bad season this year. And in fantasy, it's really tough to evaluate, but I feel like, I mean, he's a lock for a top 20 finish, in my opinion. I think it's more of the bottom half of that top 20. But like I said, there's so many goddamn weapons here. It's one of the more explosive athletic offenses in the league. It seems like there'd be a lot that would take for Teddy Bridgewater to fail, and he won't have to take off at least one of those gloves in the process.
We caught Matt Ryan lying on the Tutty Talk pod, and we caught Matt Rhule. So if you're a Matt and you're trying to get
Matt
anything
R.
past us,
watch out, Matt.
Yeah, the Matt R's. So I just bought Teddy Bridgewater in Dynasty, and quite frankly, I don't think he's that good. It's the situation that he has there. I think Matt, that's coach speak from Matt Rhule. And I just like Teddy Bridgewater because he can dump it off to Christian McCaffrey and throw it short to DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson going deep if Teddy Bridgewater actually wants to throw the ball more than 20 yards downfield. So, it's just kind of like fake news. Like, I don't really like this because it's almost like they're going to use him in this superstar way where it's like, no. I really don't think he's that good. He's not capable of what you just said. Please don't force him into this bullshit of he's out there trying to look like Patrick Mahomes, and it completely ruins what I see for Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore and those guys like that. So keep him in his comfort zone. Don't do any of this bullshit. He's going to be out there throwing passes left-handed and behind his back like Mahomes.
I believe in his arm strength.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
I don't know about that. All right, to the Bay. San Francisco 49ers running back Jerick McKinnon will have opportunities on third downs in 2020, according to Matt Miyako of NBC Sports Bay Area.
Miyako. It's a fun name.
I would fucking hope that McKinnon has opportunities on third down. You know, like, there's so many guys there still that I don't want any San Francisco 49er on my team besides George Kittle. I said it.
I'm kind of.
And I'm not paying for Kittle.
I'm kind of on board with you there. I feel like it's between Tevin Coleman. Raheem Mostert's going to be the starter there. I think I said that a handful of pods ago. But Jerick McKinnon has a phenomenal athletic profile if anybody's ever looked at it. The problem is he's 28 and he hasn't played since 2017? So it's been insane and kind of sad to watch Jerick McKinnon go through this rehabbing process. But a third down role, when a coach says that doesn't get me excited. That just means that he's going to be out there catching passes occasionally, and that his role isn't a featured position or a primary focus of this offense. So, I mean, good for Jerick McKinnon. Hopefully he's able to play this year. But I don't think it's necessary to go out and try to acquire him on any of your fantasy rosters for the 2020 season.
You know what?
What?
I don't have anything insightful to add, actually. I just never touched the San Francisco 49ers backfield with what's going on there. That's something that I will continue to never touch, and I'm going to let somebody else buy the hype and overdraft him, take the pick, do what you want. I'm not touching it.
Sorry, Roscoe. The Miami Dolphins and their two-headed monster of Jordan Howard and Matt Breida, former 49er great Matt Breida. Don't you forget it. Are both expected to receive solid playing time this upcoming season. but it's not knowing which one will start. This is a training camp thing, and they're both going to play. I mean, it's
pretty easy.
There aren't very many other guys, you know, on this roster. I think Chase and I were flipping through it the other day. It was like really funny. Some of the names we were finding is like, no, it was the Titans, but we'll get to those later. they were great. But Jordan Howard, it's the same thing as last year, I feel like, in Philly, where Jordan Howard is on the field too much, and you're like, where the fuck is Matt Breida? When Matt Breida was, you know, going ahead of him in ADP after training camp this year.
And getting carried off in a stretcher.
Yeah, well, we're like, Matt Breida is going to have a better preseason, even if it's two games, or he's going to have a better training camp. He's going to be the better running back. But these teams just leave Jordan Howard on the field because he's a big pancake, like, thumper that just runs between the tackles, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's your quarterback, and they're like,
I'm always
get to that first down on third and three, so we better put him in at midfield. Like, fuck, dude, no. Matt Breida is the better running back, but Jordan Howard is going to be better in fantasy. Chase and I have done it in best ball.
I don't know about that. I really think Braid is going to come out on top here. I think that because
I hope.
I think this is your running back flyer that you want to take, because no one in your home leagues are going to know that Matt Breida is a sneaky pick. So you might even be able to somehow pick him up off of waivers if you're lucky enough. But, you know, Jordan Howard is going to be drafted ahead of Matt Breida. And Breida is the more talented player. So I'm going to go with the talent in this situation. And especially when that offensive line is developmental at this point, it just means that, to me, they're going to be throwing this ball to the running back a lot more. And Matt Breida is the guy to do that.
I am on the Jordan Howard side as well. Miami's going to be better than we think. Jordan Howard is 6 foot 230. Matt Breida is 5'9", 195. Howard should get the goal line carries. Yeah. And week one, Sunday morning versus the New England Patriots, I fully expect the first running back to trot out there on the field. It's going to be Jordan Howard. I think he's a starter. The only way, which, I mean, it's definitely possible, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins here, is that if Matt Breida is going to be the better fantasy running back, is because of game script and that he's a better pass catcher. Jordan Howard really doesn't do any of that, and that, you know, Miami's just getting hammered in every game, and Matt Breida's sort of playing like a satellite back role, catching a lot of maybe checkdowns, dump offs, some screens from Tua. I mean, that's definitely in the realm of possibilities. I just lean towards probably more carries and more goal line carries and touchdown upside from Jordan Howard.
Agreed. We'll see. New York Jets running back Le'Veon Bell posted a catch rate of 84.6% in 2019, the third best mark by a running back with at least 50 targets last season. Do we see this going up or down or kind of staying the same? The Jets are adding. Sam Darnold is going to pop one of these days. He's got to be really good. They're still handcuffed by Adam Gase. And for me, that means, like, I'm not touching anybody on the Niners, not named George Kittle. I'm not touching anybody on the Jets, and they don't have a George Kittle, so I'm not touching the Jets.
Well, you should be touching Le'Veon Bell because...
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell has an upgraded offensive line with a team that had heavily invested in offensive line in both the draft and offseason. And given that he had an incredible amount of volume last season, he's going to have an upgraded offensive line. He's going to be a better fantasy option for the 2020 season. He is going to finish higher than he did last year. Now, people are going to say, well, you're going to throw the rookies in the mix and other players with other opportunities, blah, blah, blah. Sure, that's fine. But Le'Veon Bell, to me, is an incredibly safe running back pick in seasonal leagues. And if he's your RB2 or RB3, it's a phenomenal pick. He's going to have more touchdowns than he did last season. And like I said, that offensive line's improved so much that with the guaranteed volume that he has and no one behind him besides LaMichael P. Ryan that they drafted, who isn't, to me, a player of significance, Le'Veon Bell's just going to be just fine. He's going to finish right around the same range, if not better. He's just a safe pick. I love Le'Veon Bell for next season, especially if he's your RB2 or RB3.
I was going to hit on that, you know, Le'Veon Bell's 28 years old. But all the Jets did in the draft was draft fourth rounder LaMichael Perine. And if he's related to Samaje Perine in any way, they're both bots. I could care less. And then when you think about it, Le'Veon Bell's the third highest paid running back in the NFL. And so it makes sense that they're not going to invest more capital into that backfield and just kind of ride him out, not even necessarily ride him out.
And touch
work
him.
Work him out. Yeah.
They're going to
touch him into the ground, get every single penny out of that contract. And then in a year or two, then you draft your running back and LaMichael Perine's still sitting on the bench and you're happy with what you got out of Le'Veon Bell.
The Adam Gase effect is too much for me. I just don't trust the guy. He's got crazy eyes. He's got crazy eyes. The man looks possessed.
Is that his fault?
No, but I don't trust him. I don't care.
I don't like the way his face looks. I can't trust that guy.
He openly said that he didn't want to pay Le'Veon Bell, and then he did it.
Why did Le'Veon Bell go to New York? Such a weird... The money.
The money, yeah.
But like...
Gangrene, baby.
Better offers. Team-wise, I don't know what the money was, but there was a lot of teams interested. He goes from contending with Pittsburgh every single year, doing what he did there, to New York, and they're not going to win over five games the whole time that he's in with the Jets.
You were saying,
anyways,
good teams wanted him. Yeah, Pittsburgh. Oh,
yeah.
Oops. All right. It's time for some ADP stuff. Not very many. We got a couple guys here. But some interesting notes here. This is the first time I've taken a look at it. This is wide receivers with average draft position currently outside of the top 40 that could finish as a wide receiver one on their team. Up first, CeeDee Lamb, drafted as wide receiver 41 right now.
Yeah, that's my pick. And I actually have two rookies on here. And I think initially people would react negatively to that response to this player that I've chosen. But based on Chase's projections, it's hard for me to envision him finishing as a wide receiver 41, which is where he's being drafted. I think that that's going to be much higher. And in that offense, if hypothetically Amari Cooper gets hurt, I think it's a CeeDee Lamb show, you know, and Amari's had his fair share of injuries over the past couple years, and I think it's incredibly possible that he has to step up in a situation next season. And if that happens, then he is kind of a lock to finish in that spot. I know it's a rookie player. People are hesitant about that. I am usually hesitant about that, but I'm going down the list, and I'm just having a hard time finding a guy outside the top 40 that I think actually has the potential of finishing as a wide receiver one. And I can see CeeDee Lamb just blowing up the league in his first season. I also have Justin Jefferson on this list, who's being drafted as wide receiver 51. And he's in a role where the number one receiver in that offense was banged up a lot last year and is also really old. We're talking about Adam Thielen here. And he might be forced into a situation where he is literally the only guy in that offense. So when I see these ADPs, I'm hesitant because I feel like for sure they're going to finish ahead of where they're being listed at. It's hard to place him in a wide receiver one spot, but when you go down the list, it's hard to find a guy that you really believe in that has the potential of doing that for me. And I think CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, given that their situation – certain things play out, they could easily finish in those spots.
So I apologize because this is a little bit of an outrageous question because it's pretty unrealistic. But for the fun of the pod, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Mine is Mike Williams.
Yeah, big white.
The LA Chargers.
Big Mike Williams.
So does Devontae Parker provide some sort of false hope here for a Mike Williams fourth year breakout? Yeah, it does, because what we saw from Devontae Parker is kind of ridiculous. It was a fifth-year breakout. Dude was trash. But I think Mike Williams is better than Devontae Parker. Mike Williams finished 2019 as the wide receiver 38 and is now going as wide receiver 45, so outside the top 40. What's interesting is, other than Corey Davis in that 2017 draft, Corey Davis went 105 and Mike Williams at 107. He's the highest or earliest wide receiver taken in the NFL since 2015. And that was Amari Cooper, 104, to the Oakland Raiders in 2015. He finished 2019 as number one in average target distance, number two in yards per reception, number five in yards per target. He's got the metrics. Based on my model, which values targets and receiving yards, Mike Williams was number one for receivers for the I should have scored more touchdowns than I did in 2019, specifically five more touchdowns in 2019, which is 30 more fantasy points, which would have put him at wide receiver 25, right ahead of Calvin Ridley, who everyone is predicting a Chris Godwin-like third-year breakout to be a wide receiver one and finish inside the top 10. Phillip Rivers is gone, who was number 27 in the NFL in deep ball completion percentage, which is Mike Williams' bread and butter, 24th in true passer rating. And he checked down to Austin Eckler all the time. Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert, whoever the quarterback is there, they're both known for big arms. On top of the fact, who's their third wide receiver? I know Keenan Allen's there, and he gets a lot of targets, but Austin Eckler, it's not even a wide receiver that their third wide receiver is. So if he's able to see this positive touchdown regression, and he's going to need to exceed that, and it's going to need to be something where when we look back on the 2020 season, it's going to be like, holy shit, Mike Williams scored 16 touchdowns. He scored way too many touchdowns for him to finish as wide receiver one. But all that adds up to, I'm not going to say a good chance. There's not a good chance. It's a deep shot, but he could smash in 2020.
I like it. Go ahead. I'm kind of cheating because he's not outside the top 40. But he is right now going 37, 38. And he finished inside the top 10 last year. And he guesses before I say who this man is.
I know, I think.
I think I have to know.
I don't know.
I think you have to know, Chase.
Julian Edelman.
You are correct. He finished as wide receiver 8 last season. And Julian Edelman is going around 37 and 38. Rightfully so, right? Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. Gone. Boom. See ya. I think we've talked about it on the show. But Julian Edelman is such a value for where he's at right now. Like, oh my God. The targets that he had last season, 154. Jared Stidham, who's he going to throw to? Like, throwing in N'Keal Harry 154 times. Not throwing to Rex Burkhead 154. Not throwing out James White 154. He's throwing to Julian Edelman. And I don't think that the numbers will be that dramatic. 154 was third best in the league last year. But the red zone targets, the reliability, he only had 6 touchdowns. I think that could go up to kind of replace the targets, replace the 100 receptions that he had last year, replace maybe 1,100 yards that he had last year. I think Julian Edelman could have double-digit touchdowns this season. And for where he's going, hello, wide receiver 37, 38, finished inside the top 10 last year with Tom Brady, who was a corpse of himself for most of the season, as Chase has noted multiple times, both on the pod and on his own Twitter. I just like Julian Edelman, where you can get him. I know he's not outside the top 40 for this game, but he's going to slide because people are scared of New England now, and everybody thinks that they're like a 3-win team. But I don't think Bill Belichick is going to start the season with Jared Stidham if he doesn't actually believe in him. So hopefully he stays healthy. Hopefully he battles through injury for the last 8 games of the year like he does every fucking season now. But Julian Edelman, where you can get him, I think is one of the best values in ADP. And I feel like his ADP is only going to get worse as the season gets closer, as more and more likability of players goes up after training camp. And this guy's young and this guy's in this new spot. Julian Edelman stayed. And his Hall of Fame greatest quarterback of all time left.
Yeah, I like that take. I could totally see it, especially where he is going off the board. I mean, it's insane with a guy who finished where he did last year to fall that far. I actually wanted to build off of Chase's Mike Williams case because I have not been a Mike Williams fan up until recently. And I think people forget he had 1,000 yards last year, not a lot of touchdowns. But what he's going to need for him to finish as a wide receiver one is he's going to need Justin Herbert to be quarterback. I don't trust Tyrod Taylor being an accurate passer downfield. I think Justin Herbert will air it out and take a lot of chances in that on that offense. He's going to have the freedom to do it once he gets a starting spot. And in that case, Mike Williams does need Justin Herbert to be successful in 2020 and to even get close to that wide receiver one spot, which I don't think he will. But like I said, he's going to need Justin Herbert because that guy will take chances and will throw the ball down the field.
Back to Julian Edelman real quick. Jared Stidham is more talented than Tua Tagovailoa, according to Chris Sims.
God.
So there's nothing to worry about anyways.
Unbelievable.
So bad. That man has the hottest takes all the time, and he gets everybody all fired up. I get that's his job. Like, I'd be doing the same shit, too, if I was in a talking head chair. I guess I am. Just said that Julian Edelman's going to have another top 10 season. All right, moving over to running backs. Running backs with average draft position outside the top 30 that could finish as an RB1. Bryce, you're up.
This one was easy for me. Easy money. The best player with the best chance of finishing as an RB1 is a guy who's being drafted as the 34th running back off the board, and that's Darius Geis. Yes, he has been hurt 2 years in a row. However, I believe from what we have been told that he's completely healthy. He has the exact size and athleticism that you're looking for in a running back. He's got Ron Rivera as the coach now. This is the guy that everyone thought was going to be a dominant force in the NFL at the position. He went at the 102 behind Saquon Barkley in that draft class. Some people thought he was better than Saquon. Darius Geis is the pick here, and we go down this list. 35, Ronald Jones, no. Kerryon Johnson, no. James White, no. Sony Michel, no. Matt Breda, no. Philip, I mean, we can keep going here, but I'm not going to. This guy is the one that has the best chance of finishing as an RB1 outside the top 30. I don't think Marlon Mack can do it. Damian Williams at 32 might. You might flirt with it. But with Clyde there, I think that shakes things up a little bit. And 31 is Keyshawn Vaughn. Probably not in his first season. So for me, Darius Geis has all the upside that we have been hoping for and praying for to see. And hopefully this season he stays healthy and gets the opportunity to do so. Even though they drafted Antonio Gibson, Darius Geis is still RB1 in this backfield right now.
So I'm cheating a little bit because I said outside the top 30. My guy is RB30. It is Kareem Hunt. How about a guy who's done it before? Mm-hmm. 2017, running back number 4 overall. And then in the season after that, 2018, in 11 games. He played in 11 games in 2018 and still finished as the RB11. So I would consider that back-to-back RB1 seasons. Yes, it was in the Chiefs offense. But he outscored Nick Chubb in 6 of the 8 weeks that he played last year in 2019. And Chubb finished as the RB7. Over that span, Kareem Hunt was the RB18. He also carries this little bit of upside with the fact that he could be traded come week 8. And if you're getting him at RB30, in the games he played, he was RB18. He's done it before. He has 2 seasons as an RB1. Could be traded in week 8 and have his own backfield for the back half of the season. He's my pick right there. And I like Geis too. Those are the two that I was juggling back and forth. I don't think there's anyone other than those two who even have it in the
nope
range of outcomes. It's not even there. It's Kareem Hunt, Darius Geis, and maybe if Kevin has a sleeper for us.
I don't know if he's outside the top 30 on your list, but he's 31 on mine for ADP right now. And it's Atlanta Falcons running back Todd Gurley. So the old timer that's not old. Remember, the dude's 25 right now. Like, he's younger than me. But we treat him like he's 90 years old because of his injuries and because of last season. Not the carries that you wanted to see, but the production was surely there at times. And the red zone touches were there at times all season long. And he played in every game last year. And he goes to Atlanta where he's battling Ito Smith. Everybody loves Ito Smith. What about, he had such a good preseason. You got to scoop up Brian Hill because when Devonta Freeman doesn't play, Brian Hill's fucking horrible. I picked up Brian Hill like at the end of the preseason, all gassed up. He had like 3 touchdowns in the preseason. He sucked. He didn't do anything. So he's got no competition there. Atlanta's offense is supposed to be really good. Offensive line is going to be healthier than it was last season. Played behind a really bad line last year. And we're hoping that if Todd can just get you like 8 games, you know, that's what it's all been said. Oh, if he can get you like 8 games, first 4 games, just get you wins in those weeks, you'll be fine the rest of the year. Whereas ADP is kind of, yeah. And he was actually pretty healthy last season. So I think Todd Gurley is a little bit underrated. Am I a fan of his? No. Do I think that I'm going to have him on a lot of my teams this year? No. But outside of the top 30, just what you guys were saying, outside of Darius guys where you chase upside and lack of injury, it's kind of the same thing as this. Like, you're chasing hopeful upside of Todd Gurley not getting hurt and doing what he can when he's healthy on a team where he has tons of opportunity. And that could be Darius guys, and that could very well be Kareem Hunt, especially if he's traded. And looking at the other guys that are on this list, they're all injury-prone guys, and they're all guys that need an injury to be successful in a running back one role. So I don't think that's the case with Kareem Hunt. He could steal the job there. And I definitely don't think that's the case with Darius guys because he's the best running back on the roster in Washington.
Nice. Good call.
But that's my pitch for Todd Gurley.
I didn't realize Todd Gurley is going so late. That was shocking to me.
He's 29 years old, remember? No, he's 25. Damn it. He's been in the league forever.
Is he your RB31? Is that what you're saying?
No. On the list that I was looking on, the ADP list, he's listed at running back 31 behind Damian Williams and ahead of Ronald Jones.
Wow.
I would value him much higher than that.
Yeah.
Based off opportunity, right? Like it's just, he's the running back there. I don't care about his contract. You know, I'm not trying to acquire him in Dynasty unless I'm in win now mode. And we've seen teams in our leagues do that. Okay. I could go throw Todd Gurley into my flex or my running back too. I don't care. I'm trying to win it this year. We're afraid of there is the contract. You know, we get this nothing deal.
Yeah.
It's like, why did you, but that's why you don't pay running backs. So, props to Atlanta. They're going to move on from him after this year, or maybe he has a great season and they can sign him to a little bit better deal that's 2 years. You know, it's obvious that he wants to play there. So at the end of the day, Todd Gurley's an Atlanta Falcon and he's back home in the state of Georgia and he's really happy despite what he's getting paid.
I wish I could get some insight on why they've put their eggs in the Todd Gurley basket
but they haven't. They haven't handcuffed themselves with a contract. So they could sign somebody next year in the draft. You know, they could draft running back early and be, okay, we've got Julio, Ridley, Hurst, Matt Ryan, rookie running back, Ito as a third down guy, offensive line's improving. They didn't waste running back and a pick on a running back this year and get Todd Gurley, which I think is just brilliant. You know, you could go sign Todd Gurley for nothing, hope that he stays healthy, know that you're not the best team in your own division, and then hope that you get lucky and Todd plays well.
I think this is one of those situations that kind of tells me that I think they're going to throw the ball a lot more, not because one, they have to, but because they want to. And the fact that they can't just lean on Todd Gurley to push this offense and make it better than it was last year, even though it will be better than it was last year. So it's weird. It's just such a weird decision for them to add him to the roster. But then again, it is a nothing deal. So at the end of the day, I guess it makes sense.
Would you rather have Devonta Freeman back, who played 14 games, was always hurt, and only had 683 yards, or Todd Gurley, who's quote-unquote always hurt, MVP-caliber running back, wants to play for you for a way lesser deal, literally a one-year deal. He would take anything to come play for you and wanted to be there. Like I
just don't think that
would be a no-brainer for them to sign him, honestly.
True. Why didn't Seattle go get him then? You know what I mean? Like, they're an actual team that's competing here. And if they could have got him for a nothing deal, that would have been a phenomenal pickup. So I don't really understand. Atlanta can't believe that they're going to make a playoff appearance this year. That's what's shocking to me. You know, they have so much they have to do to be a better team. And Matt Ryan's time isn't running out, but it's getting there. It's pretty close. So I don't know. I don't know the direction of this team. And we've talked about this before. I'm just perplexed. I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know how to react to it in fantasy when it comes to Todd Gurley. But everywhere else, I mean, I'm buying. I love Matt Ryan this year. I love Julio this year. I love Calvin Ridley this year. And I'm buying into Hayden Hurst. So why is Todd Gurley the only one that we're not and apparently the rest of the community not sold on it, and it has to do with the injuries. I mean, it really does. There's no other explanation. So how much production is he going to give you for your fantasy team? And if he is getting drafted, like you said, at the 31 spot on your list, then that's a smash player that you want for your RB3 or flex for sure. So I don't know. I feel like it kind of just tells me that this team wants to throw more, even though they're already one of the highest passing teams in the league.
So 4 for 4 has him at RB16, but I still think that's good value. Jonathan Taylor in ADP, RB16. Jonathan Taylor was RB17, and personally, for 2020, I would way rather have Todd Gurley than Jonathan Taylor in the sort of clustered mess. You know, we talked about Naeem Hines and his third down role and whatever. So
I don't know.
Wherever you got him, I still think it's absolute, yeah, great value.
Atlanta last season, 30th in rushing. Mm. And a lot of that was game script. A lot of that was personnel.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley's a good running back when he's healthy and he's got everything going for him. There's no denying that. He's MVP. Like the dude is really, really good. So I know that's a stretch to hope that he can get back to that, but they're still going to stuff him as much as they can and hopefully be ahead in games to where they can do that. So last year, they were handing the ball to Brian Hill, Devonta Freeman, and Ito Smith. For God's sakes, that's terrible. That's really, really, really bad. So I don't think that they're going to be like, oh, we have to throw more than we did last year. I mean, you look at the teams that were the playoff teams last year. I'm just looking at rushing yards. Teams that led the league in rushing. The Ravens, they were a playoff team. The Niners, they were a playoff team. The Titans, they were a playoff team. The Seahawks, they were a playoff team. The Cowboys just missed. The Vikings, they were a playoff team. The Colts, just missed, right? Yeah. The Bills, they were a playoff team. The Texans, they were a playoff team. I mean, that's almost the entire top 10. And I know it's a passing league, but you can't be 30th. Like, how many teams down here at the bottom were playoff teams? The Dolphins, the Jets, the Falcons, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Bears, the Rams. Like, none of those teams made it. Coincidence?
That's interesting that all those top teams that made it to playoffs were top teams in running. That I did not know. So that is,
It's a passing league, but
you still have to establish the run.
Sadly, you do. All right. We good? We got anybody else we want to talk about today? We're wrapping it up.
We are all good over here.
That's it. That's the show. It's great to be back. We're moving in next week. The Tutty Talk podcast will be under one roof. So come see us. Actually, don't. Just like let us know if you want to like come watch football with us this year. Like we'd love to have you, but like we want to get to know you first. So that's it. We'll see you next week. Social media is going to be fired back up. Took the 1 week off for obvious reasons. But we'll get it rolling and we will talk tutties with you next week.